Exactly. We are recording this meeting. So I will call to order our CVAG, Coachella Valley Association of Governments Homelessness Committee. Today is Wednesday, September 15th, 2021. It's 10 o'clock a.m. This meeting is being held pursuant to the executive orders by the governor on Zoom. Members of the public are invited by a Zoom webinar link, and we have people joining us here today. For all the members, please make sure that you're named properly. It looks like you are, so people can identify you. So first, we have a roll call, please.
Thank you, Chair. Agua Caliente.
Here.
City of Blythe. City of Cathedral City.
Present.
City of Coachella. Desert Healthcare District.
I see Carol Rogers. Director Rogers is there waving.
City of Desert Hot Springs.
Here.
City of Indian Wells.
Present.
City of Indio.
Present.
City of La Quinta.
Present.
City of Palm Desert.
Present.
City of Palm Springs.
Here.
City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
And County of Riverside.
Here.
Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Erica, if you could note if any members join while we're hosting the meeting, that would be great. Thank you. So next we have public comment on agenda items. If you are in the public, you can press *9 if you're by phone or the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen if you're on Zoom here with us. So this is the time and place for members of the public to address the Homelessness Committee on agenda items only. And please limit your comments to 3 minutes. And then we have a portion of the agenda at the end where you can provide public comment on non-agenda items. So Erica, did we receive any public comments in writing before the meeting?
Chair, we did not, and I do not see any raised hands.
Thank you. So again, if you do have public comment, please press *9 or raise your hand. And not seeing any, but if we miss you, you can raise your hand and I can call on you during that agenda item. So next we have committee announcements, committee member announcements and CVAG staff announcements. First I'll go to staff. Erica, do you have any announcements at this time?
I do not, no.
Thank you. Any committee member comments? Council member Jonathan.
Gee, the raise hand works. Thank you, Mayor. So I've got something on my mind that I want to share with the committee. And I think this may result in, you know, something that we address more fully at our next meeting. Maybe it's something we can put on the agenda. But here's the deal. You know, I think especially some of us that go way back on this committee, we have really evolved and learned a lot about homelessness, what it is, what it means, and how best to address it. And I'm really proud that this committee and CVAG and the Coachella Valley has evolved and really been at the forefront of methodology and policy with regard to addressing homelessness. I'm having another step in that evolution of understanding. Personally, I'm beginning to understand that one of the greatest obstacles to success with addressing homelessness is getting the individual to say yes when resources are available, when housing is available, when treatment is available, bus ticket back home is available, whatever it may take to help that person. The biggest obstacle I now understand is getting that person to say yes for all sorts of reasons. And I'm not the only one that is starting to understand that. We're seeing other cities pivot in that regard, right? Los Angeles has taken a very aggressive approach now with regards to homelessness. We have other cities seating homelessness courts, essentially creating non-elective housing and treatment approaches for the homeless. So even when a homeless person says no, due to a variety of differing processes, they can be nevertheless placed in housing and getting treatment. I'm not by any means suggesting that we need to do that or that that's the best technique, but I think given our history of looking at homelessness with an open mind, evolving our approach as understanding gets better and more data is available, I think we should take a look at these new approaches, see if they're having any successes, understand what best practices are, and then, you know, evaluate whether that's something that we want to pursue or not. So my suggestion, Madam Chair, is that either you form a subcommittee or we ask staff to kind of look into it and have a recommendation at the or a staff report just for discussion at the next meeting. So to summarize, I'm not suggesting that we change to a homelessness court or that we take the eviction approach of Los Angeles. What I am saying is the world with regards to homelessness and how its approach is changing. And I think we as a committee need to continue evolving and being at the forefront of any kind of changes that are meaningful and successful. And I'm hoping that we can just follow up in examining the possibilities that are out there, if that makes any sense.
Thank you, Councilmember Jonathan. Really appreciate your leadership and always pushing the envelope and making sure that we're leading the region. So Erica, do you have a recommendation from staff about how to best bring that forward? Would it be an agenda item at the next meeting? What are your thoughts there?
Staff could certainly try to make it for the next meeting, if not the meeting after, and look at working with you, Chair. It'd be the discretion of the chair if you wanted to form some sort of ad hoc at that time, but we will certainly work with you on some next steps for that and see how quickly we can compile some of the information that Councilmember Jonathan is looking for.
Thank you. That'd be great if we could have a discussion, general information item or discussion item at an upcoming meeting when you have capacity to add it. Next, I see Carrie Harmon from Riverside County.
I just want to provide two updates from the county perspective. One is that we are releasing the 2021 NOFA for continuum of care funding. These are one of our largest pots of money that comes through the county to address homelessness countywide. It is federal funds. And so that will be released. You'll see many of you are on the listserv. But I really encourage you, I do believe that this model that has evolved in the Coachella Valley is a best practice for approaching the homeless issue regionally, because I think a regional approach really strengthens the approach. But to plug in to Greg Rodriguez on the Board of Governance, but also in the continuum of care conversation, so that we're using those funding strategically. So your voice matters when we're considering how to award those funds. It is a competitive process. A lot of the money is taken up by what's known as renewal projects, but renewal projects are evaluated for what their success rates were. So just wanted to share that. The second thing that I want to share that the county is embarking on, it's an incredibly large project and we're probably not going to see the results for a few years, is the new integrated services model. The Board of Supervisors awarded funding for us to approach social services through an integrated approach where there's no wrong door, and we provide comprehensive services to the families and individuals in our care. One of the target populations is homeless. The residents that are homeless. So we journey mapped some of our homeless residents and found that they were involved in county services as children. Their family was unstable, either due to income level, abuse, or housing instability. And if we can intervene at critical points earlier, we can have a lot more success. So we'll keep you updated, but I do think that project will impact homelessness, and it does target our homeless population initially as one of the target populations. So I just want to share that is what the supervisor is working on in the county at this time.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Appreciate those comments. So next I see Councilmember Carnevale from Cathedral City.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to piggyback on Sabby's thoughts about rethinking what we've been doing and what we have not been doing. But we've done so much in the past years, but bringing this up for discussion, because I have homeless people living in Cathedral City as long as I've been on this committee, you know, and so we have to maybe take another look at homeless people. I think we're doing the job there. We're getting them housing. We're getting them taken care of. I think it's the mental health issue where we might be lacking some, lacking some help to get them taken care of. So I'm really excited about this. And I thought about this, Sabby, just the other day going, what else can we do? What more? When I see the same homeless people day after day, and you're on first name base with them, they don't want to go. So what are we going to do? And I think this is going to be a very good topic. Hope we all research it and come back with some good ideas. And Sabby, you've always come up with some great ideas, but this is really going to be another hit for this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Council Member. I see Mayor Pro Tem Wayman Furman from the City of Indio.
Good morning. I also want to expand on Sabby's recommendation. Recently, I was just in Los Angeles and driving by some of their areas that have challenges, and I have seen a difference in some of the freeways or their ramps in some of the parts of the city. I think what we have to do, especially with the public when we have these discussions, is really explain that some of these folks are homeless, but they're housing resistant and are reluctant, I should say. I have to give a lot of credit to this committee, to all of our cities for really this collaborative effort of helping homeless folks, because if you go to other metropolitan cities or other valleys, we're doing really good in our county and specifically the Coachella Valley with a lot of resources helping folks. So I have to commend everyone on their efforts. Nonetheless, I think this is another avenue. And of course we want a compassionate solution, but some of these issues are incompassionate. You know, some of these folks are having some real difficult times out there. And in some situations, comfort is a killer. And when you get out there and you become comforted in those situations, we have to learn how to help folks break their own cycles and get them on the right path. And I think CV200 is a great avenue as well. And I think our Housing First Initiative is a great avenue. But getting out, talking to these folks, like it was mentioned, that we know a lot of these folks on first name basis, or they travel throughout the valley. You know, I might see someone in Palm Springs today, and a couple of days they're on the Sun Bus to Indio, and they move around. And I think this is a good avenue to look at. And we're going to be compassionate about it. I think that's the thing. But we need to find out why they're reluctant. Is it substance abuse? Is it mental health? And I know we know these are the solutions, but how do we get there? And I think this discussion is going to get us there. So I do agree with that. And if there's a committee or something that the chair will form, I will gladly like to be part of that.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mayor Pro Tem. So hearing that there's so much interest in by members in this topic, would you like to first put it as an agenda item for a discussion, or would you like to form a task force to explore these issues first? Councilmember Jonathan.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't know. I don't want to take action that wasn't on the agenda per se, but you know, in my mind, we're going to get to a point where there will be a task force or subcommittee that can work with staff to really get into the weeds and then come back to the committee with a report out, not even a recommendation, but just let's put it on the agenda. Here's what we found. Here are the problems, the challenges we've identified. Here are the solutions that are being implemented out there. Here are some options for the committee to consider. So I really kind of have that open-minded process in mind. And I think a subcommittee or task force is in the best position to get into the weeds along with our amazing staff.
Thank you. I think that sounds like a good plan. Vice Chair Pena from the City of La Quinta.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think rather than spend another month before our next meeting, I think you have the authority to appoint a subcommittee. and just get started on it before and have that committee come back to us at some future meeting when we can agendize it as well too. But I think you have the authority to appoint a subcommittee.
That is my understanding too, that we have that authority maybe in one of the items later on in the agenda, and that we wouldn't have to agendize that action because it is within the discretion of the committee. But I will defer to staff on how she would like us to proceed.
If you give us a little bit of time to pull together perhaps some initial information for those members of the committee in particular who may not be as familiar with some of the other policies. Certainly it's the will of the chair and the committee, but you do have a meeting in November where we can agendize this, even if it's not the full reporting that Councilmember Jonathan was looking for.
Thank you. Councilmember Jonathan.
Thank you. I just have a concern that that's a little bit putting the cart before the horse. I mean, before we have staff actually spend time, do research, I think if there is a subcommittee, we can refine the direction to staff as to the kinds of things we want them to research and look at. So I'm concerned. I don't feel ready for the full committee to get a staff report and, you know, that says, here's what's going on here. You know, I think that's the work of a subcommittee. And if the chair has the authority to appoint one now that can then take that next step with Erica and work together, I think that makes more, you know, pragmatic sense. And if the chair has the authority to do that, I would love to see that happen today.
Thank you. Erica, do we have the authority to do that now?
Chair, you could, or we, you know, just based on the feedback, if you want to work with the executive director, I think he's here, we can also do that and finalize. Tom?
Yeah, I think you all know it's best to do it as a part of an agenda item. And we had a chance to chat with committee member Jonathan before. If you want to consider it as a part of, for example, item 6D, gap analysis, this would be some kind of subcommittee dealing with gap analysis, bring it up then, but it's best not to do it as a part of this agenda item.
Thank you, I appreciate that. So we will, in interest of time and following the agenda, we will hold that discussion until a member brings it up in one of the agenda items if it's relevant. Are there any other member comments at this time? Seeing none, I will give mine from the City of Palm Springs. We are very excited and grateful to Martha's Village and Kitchen for opening in the boxing club in our city building, which we are providing for that purpose. Martha's Village and Kitchen has really gone above and beyond to staff up immediately a 24-hour shelter at our United Methodist Church in Palm Springs, and at the same time, create and staff up this access center at the boxing club. So thank you to CVAG members for letting us kick out the CVAG office operations at the boxing club, which staff told us were not needed there and really are moving to more mobile sites and looking for other office space. And we are excited to be serving people, homeless people who can drop in at that location to get immediate help from Martha's Village and Kitchen. As many people probably read in the news, the conditional use permit from the well in the desert near Bristow Park was revoked by council because there were so many related problems around that area, and frankly some bad operating procedures and some advice that this was just enabling homelessness as opposed to helping people get into housing. So just wanted to update the committee that we do have a drop-in access center that's not limited to people in Palm Springs. As Mayor Pro Tem Furman said, many homeless people go back and forth between our cities, and I'm glad that we have a location in the West Valley. And then we are working on still trying to find a navigation center site that would be large with shelter and housing. So we will keep the committee updated on that. And with that, unless there are any other comments from members, and one, I want to acknowledge, I see Council Member Karina Quintanilla from the City of Palm Desert, who is in the attendees. Thank you for joining us. And then Erica, did you find a public comment that we had missed that was late?
We did have a hand raised, but the individual put the hand down.
If you have a public comment, please do raise your hand and we will call on you at that time. But we'll continue through the agenda in the interest of time. So the next item is item 5, the consent calendar. That includes approval of the June 16th Homelessness Committee meeting minutes and approval of a resolution authorizing the use of the Department of Justice fingerprinting for employment in the CV Housing First program. Is there a motion on the consent calendar item?
Madam Mayor, LaQuinta will make a motion to approve the consent calendar if there aren't any corrections.
Thank you. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second, Rancher Mirage.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Any changes? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions? The motion passes unanimously. The next item are our discussion and action items. So first is 6A, CV Housing First, an update on the second quarter progress. This is an information item. So we have CVAG staff to provide an update.
And here is CVAG staff. Good morning, everybody. Hello, Chair, committee members. Tom here and Denise Smith are going to give this very quick report. And as you directed us, we took our program in-house starting about January 1st. And at that time, and even well before that, I promised to share with you the successes, the failures, the good, the bad, the ugly, the pretty associated with our program. And we're going to do that right now. So you've got a full report in your agenda packet. And you remember my little icons. These little icons represent individuals, in fact, 200 of them. You know that our CV200 program is titled CV200 because it represents 200 of the most challenging, one might say, homeless people in the Coachella Valley. We went around in December and January of last year, worked with all the sheriff's deputies associated with homelessness and police departments, and asked them, who are the chronically homeless people in your community? To committee member Carnival's point and many of yours, you all know them by name. We created a by name list of 200 individuals that are, call it not just housing resistant, but shelter resistant. Many shelters would not let these people into their doors, and these people probably don't want to go to the shelter. They have mental health issues, they have criminal offenses, they have 2 shopping carts and 3 dogs. These are the toughest nuts to crack and the hardest clients to help. As we shared with you in the first quarter, those 200 people on the street, 25 of them we put into permanent housing or some other successful exit. It was a big first step for the program in the first 3 months, and I'm proud to share with you quarter number 2 was almost as good. 24 individuals, again, the most challenging people, the most chronically homeless people in the Coachella Valley by name are off the street and successfully exited. As you know, we exit people by putting them into permanent housing, also rapid resolution. Most of these people have ended up in permanent housing. So, our 200 list is now 151. It is a big deal. And one day I want council member Carnivale to say, boy, that person I've seen out there for 5 years is no longer there, and he, she, or they are in permanent housing. That would warm my heart. Anise, give us a success story.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Anise Smith, Program Assistant 2 with the CV Housing First Program. And this is Mr. G. He had been homeless since 2018 after he was discharged from a nursing home to the streets. And when the outreach team met Mr. G, he was living at an encampment in the city of Indio. He was placed in a CSH unit, and his case manager worked with him to secure his vital documents and search for housing. And in April, Mr. G signed his lease and is now living in his very own senior low-income apartment. And there you see him with his keys.
Success story number two.
All right, number two is Miss M. Miss M had been homeless on and off for the past 20 years in the Coachella Valley. And when our outreach team met with her, she was living in the city of Indio. At first, Miss M was reluctant to work with our staff. However, she did accept assistance and was placed into a CSH unit. Her case manager worked with her to secure her ID, which she had been unable to do on her own for several months. And along with our partners in the county, a senior low-income housing unit was identified for Miss N, and she signed her lease in May, and there she also is with her keys.
Fantastic. And of course, life isn't neat and pretty oftentimes, and the list of 200 sometimes grows. We've been really focused on that by name list, but when we do have a unit available and there's a homeless person that is not on the list, but still chronically homeless and meets the other criteria, we try to help. And in the first quarter, we helped 5 households. And I'm saying households because when we do this, we often find somebody that has a partner or a child or 2 children. In the second quarter, we helped 2 of those households. So off the list, we've helped 7 households and a number of individuals. We put this image up, and we really struggle with this one. We have failures too in the program, and they're not our failures. And I think this is where perhaps Councilman Jonathan is coming from. Some people just cannot help themselves, or after we help them, they're not willing to continue on with the program. We bring people into our CSH units. These are these apartments where we have, it's a low barrier. They can bring their pets, they can bring their property, they can bring their shopping cart, and they could bring their issues, but we only let them stay in those units for a while unless they're willing to help themselves. And so our success rate is very high, much higher than it was when we were running Roy's, but there are failures. Anise, describe one of those.
All right. So this is Miss T. I'm going to speak about her. And she had been unhoused in the Palm Springs area since 2019. Our outreach team met with her at a park encampment, and she was eventually placed in a CSH unit. At this time, Miss T was on probation and had an open CPS case. Unfortunately, Miss T was exited from the program and not placed in permanent housing due to non-compliance with program rules. So though she is no longer in a CSH unit, our outreach team continues to provide services to her. And we are hopeful that when she's ready, she will ultimately be placed into permanent housing.
So that's the end of our brief report. Again, we're gonna share with you the successes and the failures. And I'm really proud of Anise and the team. Again, we have to remind ourselves, these are the most challenging cases in the Coachella Valley, and our successes outnumber our failures, or more appropriately, their failures. And it's to the point we've got to deal with both, those that are willing to help themselves, and as Mr. Jonathan pointed out, we still have to figure out some way to help those that aren't willing to help themselves, and that's going to be even a more challenging nut to crack. And as this program evolves, and you're going to decide whether we want to continue on for another year or 2 or more on your next agenda item. But as this program evolves, it's going to get more and more challenging. And our caseworkers say, of the first 200, we've dealt with the low-hanging fruit. And I like to remind them, our low-hanging fruit are at the top of a palm tree. This is not a short fruit tree. Ours are already the most challenging cases out there. And yeah, we're certainly working with those that are willing to help themselves, but it's gonna get increasingly more challenging, or unfortunately gonna have to grow the program and figure out a way to deal with those no cases too. With that, Anise in particular stands by to answer any of your challenging questions, and I'll try to take the easy ones. Any questions on the second quarter results?
Thank you so much, Tom and Anise. Really appreciate all of your work every single day on this. First, I just want to acknowledge Linda Evans, Mayor of La Quinta, who's also on the call with us. And I see Mayor Pro Tem Furman has questions or comments.
I just have one quick comment. Mr. Kirk brought up something that I think is very important and I appreciate it. When we have a lack of success in the program and someone drops out, we still follow up with them. And I think that's great to have an avenue for them to still hit that reset button when it's time for them. Sometimes we don't know what's all going on, but we're still available to them. So I commend staff for that in this program. So I think that's very important. That's just what I wanted to add. So thank you. And also the comment that that was made about the low hanging fruit. I think we have to also stress to folks that our low hanging fruit are people. The 200 folks that we see on this list, or 151, are people. So if we could get one this week, that's one person we're getting off the street. So I just wanted to make that comment. So thank you, Mr. Kirk, for that, and Anise, for your report.
Thank you. Other questions or comments from members?
All right, thank you very much.
If I have a question, if I can, before you log off, and it's a bit of a harder one. You almost escaped. I'm wondering about our thoughts for process of adding people to the CB 200 list. So as we whittle down, we're at 150. That's great. We know that more people are becoming, you know, homeless, and we are seeing numbers increase nationally across the state. So have you given thought about what this committee might do and what our program might do to add people to the list?
We have, and I've been very difficult on the team, and maybe even difficult on my bosses. I've got elected officials who call me up and say, boy, somebody's going to lose their house. Do you have a place to put them in one of your units? And I remind my bosses, this is about the chronically homeless. If you're going to lose your home, there probably are other resources to you. We are focused on those people that Mark Carnevale has been saying have been in front of his restaurant for the last 5 years, the chronically homeless. So we are going to sit down in 3 weeks and think about that very question and make a proposal to you on how best to move forward. And of course, it's in contingent on your next agenda item. Do you want us to continue this program? I assume the answer is going to be a yes. And if it's yes, of course, we're going to be adding to the 200 list. Should we change the criteria? I think we're going to sit down and really work with the sheriff's deputies and police departments to decide if, you know, we're heading in the right direction. Do we need to make some minor course adjustments? But we'll certainly add to the list.
Thank you. Councilmember Music.
Yes, my question is, in Palm Desert at the Albertsons right there on Deep Canyon, I see the same gentleman there all the time. So is there a number that I can call to verify that he has been, you know, spoken to or invited to become one of our CB 200?
We'll follow up with you after this, okay. Councilwoman. And the answer is yes. Call Anise at CVAG or me or Erica. 9 times out of 10, when I hear a story like this, they are already on the list. And 9 times out of 10, we've made contact. And they may be one of those people that just are saying no and are not willing to be helped. But we will follow up with you on that individual, and we'll see if they are on the list.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That's helpful. I know we had that issue in Palm Springs. There's a pregnant lady who had gotten help in some programs, and there were, meanwhile, recall petitions to recall the city council because there's a pregnant lady on the street. It's actually to recall me because there's a pregnant lady on the street. But unfortunately, you know, a lot of these people are in programs and then, you know, don't want help or aren't able to accept help because of all the issues that people are dealing with, mental health, you know, and the whole gamut. So I appreciate CVAG staff and Greg Rodriguez in particular being really available and accessible to us to confirm if, you know, people are getting help or if we can send out help. I know that's been really helpful for the city of Palm Springs. So thank you. Any other questions or comments before we move on? Seeing none, that's just a discussion item. So we'll move on to the next item, which is item 6B, extension of the Housing First program. There's a recommendation from staff to authorize the executive director to continue taking the necessary steps to operate the CV Housing First program by CVAG staff, including regular reporting of program metrics. Can we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Chair. And to follow up on what Tom and Anise have said, the CV Housing First program has demonstrated success in its first year. However, you'll recall that a year ago, we did come to you with this idea of bringing the program in-house. And one of the things that you've all alluded to actually in the introductory comments, and certainly staff noted in the staff report, was a commitment to continuing to adapt our services and our programs to respond to the needs of the community. And that's really what drove the transition last year and the recommendation to transition the program in-house. However, the recommendation, as it was approved, did have a one-year timeline on operating this program. So now we're a year later, and we have some steps to take in order to ensure that there's not a gap in services come the new year. And so we are seeking authorization for the executive director to continue to take the steps necessary to operate the program in-house. Happy to provide additional background on how we got here or answer any questions from the committee.
Thank you, Erica. My only question is, how was that a year ago? I feel time is so strange right now. Are there questions or comments from members? Vice Chair Pena, City of La Quinta.
Question, I know that we're looking at a one-year extension. Perhaps we could put in a option for a following year too, so we don't have to come back. I mean, we can obviously review it, but it would give the executive director authority to move forward in that case as well, too. So, because I think we're probably going to hold on to this for more than a year.
Vice Chair, just to clarify, the staff recommendation doesn't actually specify any time. Certainly, that would be the discretion of the committee if you wanted to put some sort of a period on that. But the recommendation as it stands is more open-ended.
Okay.
So an indefinite time, and then with continuation of program metrics reported quarterly to this board, correct?
Correct. And in practicality, this is actually reviewed by the committees, as all our programs are, you know, as throughout the year with various steps that you all take and the executive committee takes to continue the program, but certainly the will of the committee.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? Council Member Jonathan, City of Palm Desert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure if it's going to be an agreement in perpetuity that we have a termination clause. I think from an optics standpoint, that's very important. Not that I expect to terminate anytime soon, but obviously we need to have that ability. And the other comment I have is just to point out that this is possible. It's in the fiscal analysis portion of the staff report that the budget is funded by contributions from cities, Riverside County, Desert Healthcare District. So I don't want to let that go unnoticed. We've all come together, put our money where our mouth is, and that's what making the implementation of solutions possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Council Member. Other member questions or comments? I do see that Donna Craig from the Desert Healthcare District has her hand up, and in the discretion of the chair, I'm able to call her. So if we may unmute Donna and allow her to give her comment. Hi, Donna, welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I was just curious on the fiscal analysis that when staff is giving progress reports, is it possible to also get a budget progress report on the money that's been spent so far so we can account for our $500,000?
Yes, it's actually included in the staff report. We do provide an information item at the end of the homelessness committee. Certainly the Desert Healthcare District has been one of our strongest supporters. As you all know, a few meetings ago, you accepted the MOU that does contribute $500,000 to the program this year. And we are working with the district on metrics, but
I don't see item 7C. Is it in the packet?
It is 7C.
And it's at the end of the packet, not in this agenda item. I believe it's included every agenda.
Okay. All right. Oh, I see it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna, and happy to work with you offline about that to have those conversations. Thank you so much. Any other member questions or comments? If not, is there a motion? I think the Vice Chair Pena was close to making a motion in his first comment.
I was going to make a motion that we authorize the recommendation by staff.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Cathedral City will second.
Thank you. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion passes unanimously. Thank you to everyone for your ongoing support. I'm so proud that we've come together as a region. We have all 9 cities participating. The Desert Healthcare District has been so generous. And to see the success of this program, I think, is so powerful as we see the state and areas like LA really grapple with how to address chronic homelessness. I love to see us leading the way. So the next item is item 6C, Operations Hub for CV Housing First. There's a staff recommendation to authorize the executive director to negotiate and execute a lease with the County of Riverside or other entities as necessary to establish a CV Housing First Operations Hub at a county or city-owned facility. If we can have a staff report, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And as you noted earlier, our program had been operating at the Boxing Club, and we've been providing updates as the city made some changes there to accommodate Martha's and change the services that were available. So we have been looking for a new home. With the continuation of the program, we will need a hub, as it were, for our services. Though I would note we're actually more expanded in a sense with our mobile access center and out in the community than perhaps ever before. That being said, a few years ago when the Boxing Club was identified as a location, there was a recommendation that came forward that gave the executive director some authority to work with the city on a city-owned facility. In looking at opportunities this summer, there is a former firehouse that is available through the county, and it provides quite a bit of opportunity in terms of the program's current mission. It's a multi-building site, and it does provide options for us moving forward and parking for our mobile access center and in the former fire bay. In looking at the recommendation that the executive director and the authorization that the executive director had previously been given, it didn't quite fit what the firehouse may need as we are looking there. The county has offered the firehouse under a $1 5-year lease, and there will be additional costs to make the building work. And we were providing this recommendation to allow staff and the executive director to work with the county and negotiate something that works for the program.
Thank you, Erica. I see Councilmember Pai from Desert Hot Springs.
Erica did send us the information, and I didn't have any questions. I did forward it to our city manager and re-forwarded to our mayor. I'm trying to measure what I say. Some of our council members do not agree on homeless, period. That is not a problem for me. Greg and I worked to get the 100,000, and we can do that again. The mayor is on board. The mayor wants to put it on the council meeting before the executive committee, just so the council knows. I'm for it, and I believe there's nothing we can do. It belongs to the county. And if it's if it is different, it won't be till 2026. So I just wanted to state, yes, we may have a problem, but we can negotiate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Pye, and thank you for your leadership. It shows the power that these our committee members have really to support our programs and support this project regionally. Are there other questions or comments? I see Greg Rodriguez from Supervisor Perez's office.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to address Jan's comments, and I think there may be, I don't want to use the word confusion, but maybe misunderstanding of what actually the operations are going to be at the firehouse. It's different than what the conversation was when we were talking about the city of Palm Springs and us utilizing it more as kind of an access center shelter type environment. This really is an operational hub, as Erica stated, for operations. So it's not a drop-in facility like the Well. You won't have a lot of clients. As Erica mentioned, the majority of the CV Housing First program is done out in the field, whether that's through the individual outreach workers or, as Erica mentioned, the mobile access center. So Jan, I'm more than happy if it's agendized to come to the council and explain that for them as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Councilmember Jonathan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So actually Greg was starting to answer my question. This is like amazing. I mean, an amazing development. I just want to get a better feel for what it will look like, because the staff report does indicate that this is not just space for staff, but also a base for meetings with clients and coordinating services. So I'm not challenging it because I love this. I'm just trying to get a better feel for what it will look like functionally.
Sure, thank you for the question, council member. And in my truncated staff report, I assumed everybody read all the details. So I do appreciate the questions and such, and I probably should have expanded a little bit more. The firehouse location is near Dillon and Indian, and it is a couple of buildings on a property. Because it was a firehouse, there's actually the equivalent of a small house, as it were. It's got a couple of bedrooms where the fire personnel actually used to sleep. And then there's a few bay opportunities where we would park the mobile access center and use for storage. That we do need office space for our staff, and the mobile access center would be hub there. In terms of using for clients, what we've done with our CV200 list in particular is work with them on and through the MOUs, the no cost MOUs that came before you previously, is we're working with partners, and sometimes there's services that we need to provide with them. Legal clinics, for example, where we'll host a clinic where we invite our clients to come in and use a computer to access services in order to get the records they need, et cetera. So that's really the type of activity you would see on site.
Thank you. I actually believe, not to correct you, I think that I've spent a lot of time at this facility. So there are sort of two little homes on the lot that were used for firefighters to live in, right? And one's been converted to more office space. Isn't that right?
One is, it was known as, I guess it was called the captain's quarters at one point. The way the facility is now, it is more of a home on half of it, and it probably was a home at some point, but it does have, we would anticipate using it more for office than an actual unit, whereas the other side would be as a unit. And given we are working with the county has been a great partner, and I will thank many of your cities have reached out over the summer to help us try to find an opportune site as we search for kind of where we want to go. So we're kind of exploring what the best layout for the program is, depending on the costs and how quickly we can transition some of the space with the support of the committees and the authorization. I would anticipate everything would be done very much in a phased approach.
Thank you, Erica. And I've spent a lot of time at this property because the city of Palm Springs was considering moving forward in a respite program for people exiting the hospital. But I know that there was some concerns from Desert Hot Springs and other neighbors about housing people there. But this is an incredible asset in our community. It is, considering how long it's been vacant, part of it is turnkey. You could have people working in there with minimal improvements. And then there's just so much opportunity for storage. We had been storing a ton of cots and bedding that we got donated from hotels and other furniture. So it's sad to see this asset really being underutilized and unused in our valley. And I'd love to see it be office space for CVAG and for our operations since we kicked you out of the boxing club. Sorry about that. Vice Chair Pena.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm in favor of it. I think it's a great move forward for us, and we want to thank the county. I guess the only concern I have is some of the ongoing costs. We don't know what those costs are going to be, so I'd hate to rebuild the firehouse as we move forward. And I know that we're authorizing the executive director to negotiate and execute a lease without some of those costs. I know that you're going to come back with those costs, but how soon would we get those costs back to us on what it's going to cost to move in?
Thank you, Vice Chair. And your point is one that staff has been working with the county diligently on as well. The county has identified some structural improvements. For example, if you drive past, you'll see there's windows that need to be replaced, and there's some more structural related issues that they would be willing, according to county staff, be willing to cover before we enter. We were hoping to have more of the cost breakdown today for you, and we do have inspectors going out over the next couple of weeks with a contractor as well to try to have a more defined cost. We are cognizant of that concern though, and share that concern, which is part of the reason anything that is done there would definitely be done over time in order to address that.
Thank you.
What would be the next steps in bringing that to the committee or to the executive committee? The cost, is it the count? Are you having conversations with the county about what they might cover for their building that they own, or what CVAG might cover as a tenant?
The authorization, as it's recommended, would allow the executive director to negotiate all of those details. And certainly we would provide updates on the plans and how we saw any move-in or rehab work transpiring, but that's as it's written by staff.
Thank you. Other comments or questions? Or is there a motion?
Well, before I make the motion, is there some how that we can bring this back once we have some costs and then authorize director to move forward?
You could, and you can imagine we don't want to spend money on major improvements when
right.
We don't know how we're going to use that facility. Your executive director is notoriously cheap, and we'd rather spend the money on, you know, moving people into housing. We're not going to create a Taj Mahal for our office, but we want it certainly to be functional and habitable to some degree. The way this is currently written would allow me to work with the county. We don't know how much the county is willing to contribute. We think there are pots of funds out there that would allow us to use monies to improve parts of this anyway. How about this? We wouldn't make any capital improvements of certainly over $15,000 without coming back to the committee, but this would at least allow us to move into the site with modest improvements, and we could phase things in later.
Thank you. Councilmember Jonathan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, it occurs to me, John, that the action that's being requested is to authorize the executive director to negotiate a lease. Maybe we can at least approve that request, but require, obviously, they come back to us for approval. And at that time, we can get a better feel for the ongoing maintenance costs as well before we give formal approval to the lease that's been negotiated. Would that be a way to move forward?
Yeah, if the question is to me, it is. And my authorization at CBAG would be for up to $25,000 anyway.
Right.
I'm not, you know, keep in mind, if we were going into a commercial lease, we'd be paying a couple thousand dollars a month. We're talking about a virtually no cost lease with the county, much like we had with the city of Palm Springs. So if you want to get into the details of this, you could. I wouldn't recommend it. Let us get office space. We're using downstairs office facilities at CVAG right now that don't work for this operation. Give staff the ability to move forward with this. And obviously we couldn't move forward for over actually $25,000 under my single signature authority anyway. If we're gonna spend that kind of money, of course we come back.
Right, that would be my recommendation, is that we stick to Tom's signature authority that the executive committee has authorized, and that we authorize you to move forward with the lease and the negotiations and up to that amount, which you're able to do. Councilmember Pai.
I want to agree with Tom. I know he's cheap. Well, and I agree with the recommendation of Christy. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'll make mine a motion and ask if Councilmember Pius was a second, just in the interest of time. And then is there any further discussion or offers to amend that motion? Seeing none, thank you for the conversation. I appreciate everyone's oversight of that, because I think that's really important. So those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you all for that. And thank you to Tom and your staff for your work on that. What a great opportunity that you found. The next item is item 6D, performance assessment and gap analysis of Riverside County's homelessness services. And we have Greg Rodriguez.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning still, everybody. thanks for allowing me to present. You know, when we decided to not necessarily create a second bureaucracy for a collaborative in the Coachella Valley, we emphasized the improvements that the county was doing in the work amongst the continuum of care, and decided, of course, to work with building a collaborative system, not only in the Valley, but countywide. And so this gaps analysis and performance evaluation is a major step in that effort for the county in developing a strategic action plan. The actual gaps analysis and performance assessment is attached, the full report, to your packet. I will note that there are a couple references to the success of CV Housing First and the collaborative efforts in the Coachella Valley. With that being said, the guiding principles basically for the strategic plan on the county level and for this assessment and analysis is really looking at a systems level approach. So how are we addressing this throughout the county, looking at the various differences amongst the county regions and developing an action plan to address those. It also is equity centered, meaning that it is equitable across the county, but also equity in the minds of how we are dealing with our homeless individuals. And then also utilizing the lived experience. So it was really important in this assessment that we not only use the feedback and input from our service providers and our county agencies, our city partners, our law enforcement, but also those that have lived with the experience of homelessness. And we did that not only for individuals that were in specialized populations, so seniors, our LGBTQ community, veterans, disabled, and really looked across that across the whole arena, sorry. Additionally too, in part of the guiding principles is looking at what we call the Healthy Places Index. And those tend to be concentrations of lower socioeconomic individuals where we actually do see more concentration of homeless areas. So we'll go to the next slide area. Thank you. The five focus areas that this looked at was strengthening the system to better prevent and end homelessness. So again, not only looking at how we address service provisions, but how are we looking at prevention? Second was to equitably address the health, safety, and service needs of people experiencing unsheltered homelessness. As you've heard me mention many times, and as we all know on this committee, is we really are looking at how we do a holistic approach and how we not only get people into housing, but how are we looking at their access to healthcare, whether that's physical, behavioral health, how are we making sure that they're safe when they are placed in permanent housing, and how are we making sure that they get the services that they need, so ongoing wraparound case management. Third was looking at expand the community's capacity to provide safe and effective sheltering and interim housing. As we all know here, at least in the Eastern Valley, we have two of the largest shelters in the county. We know that the formation of this committee many years ago was done to possibly look at a shelter in the West Valley. And as Christy mentioned, there's work being done every day for a navigation center. But more importantly, is the concern of not only my boss, but many on this call as well, that there aren't these type of services throughout the county. So the lack of shelter, the lack of interim housing, the lack of, say, a CV Housing First program model in other parts of the county. It is getting better, but what this strategic plan and gaps analysis pointed out is that there are those lacking resources on the other part. Number four was expanding and ensure equitable access to permanent housing in our communities. Again, we have been quite successful in the CV Housing First program, but how do we look at this countywide and even within the Coachella Valley of landlord incentives, of getting more units, of building more affordable housing? And so that was addressed in this as well. And then number five was the prevention of people from experiencing the crisis of homelessness. In the past, we've done some prevention efforts, but Carrie referenced the integrated service delivery model that the county is doing. And this is a data-driven approach on how we can really nail down through numerous agencies and partnerships with CBOs in preventing the crisis of homelessness. So I'm going to go a little next slide into these five, but I'll go through these relatively quickly. Again, what we saw as the gaps is in under the strengthening systems portion was the regionalization. Again, as I said, we need to invest in countywide in provider capacity, in the infrastructure. We are lucky that there are funds coming down through the budget in California, as well as through ARPA funding, the American Recovery Plan Act, for both capital and operational expenses that the county will be able to tap into and administer. Increasing administrative infrastructure. As we know, as we look for data-driven approaches, as we realize the need for increased case management, not just sheltering, we have to have a workforce and administrative infrastructure that will support that. Cross-sector alignments, again, forging agreements with cross-system partners. We've done an amazing job with that in this valley, and the county is really doing an incredible job over the last 2 years of forming those partnerships. As I've said many times, and you all know as well as city leaders, is government can't do this alone. This is a combined effort amongst government, nonprofits, and private industry as well. And then again, data integration and management. The need and use of data is integral in not only accessing dollars, but in assessing our performance and addressing where further gaps may happen and how we address those. The county over the past 2 years, as many of you know, has expanded and it implemented a new homeless management information system. We've fully integrated now our coordinated entry system within that. And so we're well on our way for that data integration and management. And then service provider capacity. Again, this is, as I addressed, the need for other parts of the county, as well as increasing the capacity of our current service providers in homeless services. Next slide, Erica. In equitably addressing health, safety, and service needs of unsheltered homeless, we need to look at the gaps of differing outreach approaches in underserved regions. What this analysis noted is that there are many organizations who do outreach. Some do it very well, some don't do it well at all. some overlap. And so again, how do we create a more engaged outreach system? And more importantly, how does that outreach lead to services and permanent housing? A great example is just the outreach coordination that's been happening through some coordinated efforts of Justin and Christy with the City of Palm Springs in gathering our service providers throughout the Valley and addressing the needs, not only of Palm Springs, but also of the Valley. And again, Anise and her team under the CVAG leadership doing coordinating that outreach too with law enforcement, Jewish Family Services, and other partners as Martha's as well. Next slide, Erica, sorry. In the expanding community's capacity to provide safe and effective sheltering and interim housing, again, the gaps, this lack of low barrier shelter and interim housing, and we need to increase that access. Again, as I said, establishing more crisis stabilization units, establishing more permanent supportive housing units. There's some exciting opportunities coming down the pike again with some of the funding that's coming down from the state as well. The next slide, Erica. And expanding and ensure equitable access to permanent housing in our communities. Again, this gets back down to our subpopulations. How are we looking at addressing our veterans? As many of you know, Riverside County was one of the first counties, actually the first county in the state to basically go to a relatively functioning zero veterans population on the street. And so how do we replicate that program to target seniors, to target those that are disabled, our youth population that's growing as well. A lack of sufficient housing supports, again, increasing the access to permanent housing, landlord engagement. How do we look at flex funding to address deposits, appliance repair, car repair, et cetera. Insufficient affordable and homeless housing. Again, this just gets down to the affordable housing. I will say the Coachella Valley, again, is leading through the county partnership with Lift to Rise on the housing Catalyst Fund and affordable housing developments. Actually, there's been investments in three major projects already. Palm Springs most recently just approved three projects, Palm Desert approving projects, Coachella, Desert Hot Springs I'm working with as well. And so again, is how do we replicate those kind of activities throughout the county? And Carrie, of course, works within the Housing Homelessness and Workforce Solutions Department, and that element of housing is one of their top focuses as well. And then next slide, Erica, the final, basically preventing people from experiencing the crisis of homelessness. Homelessness prevention, again, how do we create systems focused on expanding funding and expanding the prevention aspect. One key element that's been highly successful is the rental assistance program that the county has had due to COVID. How do we model that or do a hybrid system of that going forward, even outside of the pandemic? Obviously, working with our institutions for incarcerated individuals and our discharge planning for hospitals, we are already working on those type of programs through a whole person care initiative the county is doing, but how do we really operationalize that amongst our service providers, our law enforcement agencies, and our healthcare providers as well? And then addressing economic instability. I mean, that's a reality that's not necessarily something the county can solve, but how do we utilize our other governmental partners at the state and federal level to make sure that proper pay is made, that there is economic support, economic services for those that are either reentering the workforce or for those who unfortunately may have to be on disability and can't work. And then finally, race equity. We know this has been quite the topic over the last year, but should have been topic even before that, in my opinion. Sorry, I won't do a political soapbox here. But we do need to address that, we're making sure, because that people of color are more proportionally affected by homelessness and housing insecurity than other individuals within the population. So how do we address that? Also being culturally competent as well in housing choices and housing needs as well. So this is a very high 30,000 foot view, I know. But what is nice out of this is that through this, again, as I said, the county is developing a very concrete, goal-oriented, metric-driven action plan that we'll be unveiling in November. And we'll be excited to present that to you as well. With that being said, I'm more than happy to take any questions if there are any.
Thank you, Greg, for a really thorough report. Thank you for all of your work on this. I'm really glad that you're bringing it to this committee, because I think in the past, the county has had plans, you know, 10-year plans, and it's not always coordinated with each city and coordinated with CVAG. So really appreciate you bringing this to us now at this stage so we can provide input and include our city plans and our CVAG plans so it can be aligned and coordinated. The city has also recently, the city of Palm Springs has recently hired Lasar for consulting on homelessness. So that's a great opportunity for us to coordinate. So are there questions or comments for Greg on this item? I see Councilmember Jonathan from Palm Desert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Greg, great report and great work. I don't think you mentioned that part of your work is to chair the Riverside County Continuum of Care. And you know, the insight that you have, the experience, the knowledge, absolutely invaluable to us here in the Coachella Valley. So thank you for all of that. The report, I think, focused on how we can do and should do a better job at the housing first model throughout the county. And so, you know, the discussion is about more resources, additional housing, expanded resources, increased outreach, improved coordination, and so forth. What's missing in my mind in the bigger conversation is one of the greatest barriers in battling homelessness, and that's the homeless individual that refuses help and chooses to remain homeless in spite of being offered assistance. And that is an issue that is starting to be addressed throughout the state. We've seen it in Los Angeles, we've seen it in Seattle and Oregon. Some of these cities are taking new approaches. I don't know if they're effective or not, but I think it's important for this homelessness committee to look at that issue, that specifically the issue of homeless individuals that refuse assistance, even though the resources and the capacity to help them is there. That is something that certainly each of our cities has experienced here in the Coachella Valley, and we're not alone in that. So I want to suggest that we form a subcommittee to address that issue, to review new approaches that are being utilized by other cities, and to evaluate best practices and to come back to the full committee really with a report out.
Thank you, Councilmember Jonathan. Thank you for that. So I see that's a recommendation. So I'll hold that and get committee input. And I see Carrie Harmon from Riverside County has her hand raised, and then Vice Chair John Pena from City of La Quinta.
I would just say, I think that the work of the proposed committee to do more review of additional interventions that LA is proposing and some other jurisdictions. I know I was recently in Seattle and they've also implemented new programming to help, you know, more service resistant populations. But also as a longtime social worker, former homeless outreach worker, I just think we need to be careful promoting a narrative, those of us who are champions of homelessness, that people are refusing help. The reality is we have let people languish on the streets for many, many years. And then when we have resources, we want to welcome them into our system of care when we have let them languish. And I think that we need to acknowledge that. I also think that, you know, 20 years ago when I started in this work, homeless programming included 50% of the programs that were funded were drug treatment. And when people graduated from drug treatment, they were caught on the back end with transitional housing programming and workforce housing. That shifted when HUD, it wasn't communities, it wasn't members, elected officials, decided that they only wanted to fund housing. And so we lost a key component of substance abuse treatments. And I think what the collective angst right now is over, how do we help people that are deep in an addiction or deep in a behavioral health disability? How do we help them out so that they hear our message when our staff are out there offering help? And it's really complicated. And so I think a lot of the work that committee will do is about how do you compel people to enter into programming when they're not able in the right mind to make those decisions, right? But I've never had somebody turn down keys. They don't want to accept keys when they know they're going to fail, that their addiction is very deep right then and there. So this is my one soapbox moment, but I just want to be careful.
Thank you, Carrie. We really appreciate all of your expertise and the work you've done for a long time on these issues. So thank you for sharing. Vice Chair Pena.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And also, I agree with Councilmember Jonathan that we need to form a subcommittee in order to address some of those issues that were raised. Excuse me. And the report was very extensive, and there was a lot of information there. You know, some of the issues that I think that we're going to deal with, we might not be able to solve. When you look at, you know, the report on the main barriers for people experiencing homelessness, it's tough. There's things that we can and can't help with in those areas, but we certainly need to address them and find out why people are either not refusing or refusing to get help too. And I think that Carrie had mentioned something that kind of stuck out, is that some people can't either comprehend what's going on. You know, they're not able to make decisions. So it's got to be something else that we can do to get them to get that help, whether it's court ordered or anything else. And so I think we have to approach that from a different angle. And I think this subcommittee that will be formed can address some of those issues as well, and bring in other resources that will give us an avenue that we can approach moving forward in a different direction, possibly.
And Madam Chair, if I can add in to address both Sabi and John's point, is that, you know, the intent too of this, of the action plan that will be coming out, is to provide some flexibility and to, again, utilize a systems approach. To your point, Sabi, is a very good point, is how do we look at other ways and other programs not be punitive, again, be compassionate, and but be productive. And so that's built, that will be built into the action plan as well.
Thank you, Greg. Councilmember Carnevale from Cathedral City.
Thank you. And I really appreciate Carrie's comments, because it gave me a whole nother vision from what Sabi brought up. But I do have to agree with Councilmember Sabi, Jonathan, because it becomes a police matter. If we can't do the job, or if we can't get them into housing, it becomes a police matter. So it opens up a whole new can of worms for these people, where now they're maybe going to jail, or we pushed them out of Cathedral City. We're not doing any good for them. So I would like to go forward with it, you know, carefully, and just investigate a little bit more and see if there's something that can be done, instead of getting professional help rather than police work. And I think it might take a lot of pressure off the police department too. So, and I would, if Sabi would want all to be on the council or the committee as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments from members? And I might just add, I'm glad that we're having this conversation in terms and in context of the gap analysis, because those have been my comments, is that, you know, when we had Path of Life, we were doing, our CV Housing First program was doing more prevention. It was doing also rapid resolution, right, with assistance in various ways. And so, you know, my thoughts and my comment about the CV 200 is, we have this list, but I would hate to get to the end of it and then find that there's 1,000 people waiting. So, you know, in the context of the gap analysis, which, you know, what is the county doing, thinking through what is the role of the cities in context of the county's plans, because we do have, you know, police powers, we're addressing this, you know, through our various ways, and we're all always limited because we have a police department, we don't have social services, right? We're having to grow social services departments to address this issue, and it's been a financial burden on our cities. So I like the idea of having a task force or a subcommittee here formed. And I might just ask, you know, we have that conversation about what are all the carrots and sticks, what are the tools, what are some of the best practices, like Councilmember Jonathan mentioned, the core programs and things like that to add to our toolbox, because cities are sort of grasping at straws because we don't have a lot of tools in our toolbox. And even from policing crime, you know, where we are sometimes limited to. So with that, are there any final comments? This is just an information item, but it sounds like Councilmember Jonathan is suggesting that we give also give direction in this agenda item to create a subcommittee on those issues. Is that right? So are there volunteers for that subcommittee who would like to serve? Councilmember Jonathan, Mayor Pro Tem Furman, Councilmember Carnevale, Director Rogers from the Desert Healthcare District. And I think that's not a quorum, right? Erica?
You need less than 7 of your members.
And how many was that, 5 or 6?
I think it was five too. Chair, we can work with you to go through and make sure that the ad hoc is all coordinated.
Thank you. And I'd like to serve too, if I can, if there's room. Thank you. Any other comments on that before we move on?
Just to say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that forward. Next, yes.
I'm sorry, Chair, we do have a hand up from Director Rogers.
Director Rogers, I think that was just her volunteering to serve on the ad hoc committee. Thank you. And okay, perfect. We can just give direction. We don't need a motion on that. Okay, so item 6E, which is election of homelessness committee officers. There's a recommendation to elect a homelessness committee chair and vice chair for the fiscal year 2021 to 2022. Staff report, please. Or staff can lead us through this.
I'd be happy to do so. You have the staff report. Your chair, of course, is Mayor Holstage. Your vice chair is Councilmember Pena from La Quinta. What is the pleasure of the committee? Are there any nominations?
I would nominate John Pena for chair.
Madam Mayor, if I can too, much like we did at public safety, that we continue on with the current officers. And I know that that might be a little bit on your plate, Christy, because you're also going to chair the executive committee, I believe. But if you're willing to accept, I would suggest that we keep the same officers moving forward. This has been a weird year this last year. So, and I think there's precedence for it. So if that would be appropriate, I would make that motion. I know there's a motion on the floor, but if that motion will be withdrawn, I'll say that we stay with our same officers.
I'll withdraw that motion.
Thank you. And I'm happy to continue to serve. And I'm also happy to step aside whatever the pleasure of the committee is. Councilmember Pai.
I second John's motion.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Want to make sure we discuss it fully. Councilmember Jonathan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just very briefly, I want to thank you for your work on this committee. It is relentless and very much appreciated. And also to extend a vote of confidence to Mayor Pro Tem Pena. When he's ready to step up, I know the committee will be in excellent hands. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Tom, would you like to call the vote since you can just better
that way? I'd be happy to do so. All those in favor say aye.
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 And all those that say no are on mute, so it's unanimous. It was unanimous. Anybody opposed? Seeing none, congratulations. Look forward to working with you again. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you all for your leadership. I think really this is an all city, all tribal effort. And it's not about one city or one person. It's really all of us together. And I'm glad that we can lead the way together. So there is next information items. You see the attendance record, ex officio updates, financial support for CV Housing First. So that was the public comment on 7C to show the financials. And then you have an update about the bus pass program. So I will ask if any ex officio members have updates at this time, and then we'll move to public comment. So remember, and that's public comment on non-agenda items. So remember, if you have public comment, please press *9 on your phone or raise your hand at the bottom of your screen on Zoom. So do any ex officio members have comments at this time? I'm not seeing any hands raised. I see Donna Craig. Welcome, Donna. Come on. Donna, you are joined in the meeting.
Yeah. Go ahead. Mine is just more of a question, since, you know, we kind of look at the summer cooling centers back in May before it gets really hot, but now we've got winter coming, even though it's hard to believe it's going to be 105 today. Are there any plans for winter shelters? Winter warm shelters?
Not from the county level. We've not done them in the past. So.
Okay.
Outside of the regular shelters that already exist.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Any ex officio member of Desert Healthcare District actually is a member. But thank you, Donna. So any other updates? I'm not seeing any hands raised. So we will move to public comment on non-agenda items. This is the time and place for members of the public to address the Homelessness Committee on items of general interest within the purview of this committee. Please limit your comments to 2 minutes. Erica, are there any written comments that we received before the meeting?
We did not receive any written comments, Chair, and I do not see any hands raised.
Thank you. So a reminder, I'm sorry to say this 10 times during the meeting, but we very much care about public comments and public participation. And so please do press star 9 or raise your hand if you're an ex officio member or you're a member of the public who'd like to give a comment. I see one. Erica, is there one that we have?
Yes.
I see that Megan Beeman, council member from City of Coachella, has joined us as well. So Erica, is there a public comment?
Yes, we have Veronica.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to say thank you to Jan Pai. She's the one that let me know about this meeting. And that's why I joined. I've heard a lot of awesome information, so I appreciate all of the work that you guys do. As branch manager for the Desert Hot Springs Library, I'm just hoping that, you know, I can spread out any information that you guys have to the patrons that come into our library. And I can spread the word out to the other local libraries around the area as well. So just know that I'm here to help if, you know, in any way that I can, and spread the word about any resources or information that's, you know, culminating throughout this meetings. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Veronica. Thank you for introducing yourself and for all of your work in Desert Hot Springs in the Coachella Valley. We're glad to have you and meet you here today as with the committee. Are there any other public comments, Erica?
We don't see any other hands raised.
Thank you. So we'll move to announcements. We have upcoming meetings. The next meeting of the Homelessness Committee will be held on Wednesday, November 17th, 2021 at 10 a.m., either by Zoom webinar or in person. Details still to be confirmed. And the next meeting of the Executive Committee will be held on Monday, September 27th, 2021 at 4:30 p.m. by Zoom webinar. And those meetings will be agendized and published on CBAG's website. Are there any other final announcements before we adjourn? And seeing none, thank you all for your participation and leadership and your commitment to this work and these programs. We look forward to seeing you at our next meeting. Thank you so much. Have a great day.